Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with John Couch, John engineering and producing the show on the other side of the glass. And together we welcome you to Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios for this Friday. Hope it's a good day for you. 20th of November already, still record-breaking temperatures. What a week, huh? What a year for heat and drought in Tucson, Arizona. We're on 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. We have our worldwide live listening and podcasts at buckmastershow.com. The Buckmaster Show live line presented by Rincon Ventures, real estate and property management. Our media partners, TucsonSentinel.com, Green Valley News and Saharita Sun, Tucson Local Media Group and its portfolio of publications, including Inside Tucson Business, the Tucson Weekly, Oro Valley Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert Times. With us on the live line, Dylan Smith, editor and publisher, and the founder of the 10-year-old now online news service known as TucsonSentinel.com. Dylan is vice president of the Arizona Press Club, immediate past chair of Lion Publishers. Lion is an acronym for local independent online news publishers. Our Friday Focus interview today, Tim Tomier is with us. Tim is the director of Tucson Water. He's also the acting director of the Tucson Parks and Recreation Department. Tim, how are you?
I'm doing well, Bill. Thanks for having me.
Tell me a little bit about the impact of the driest and hottest year. That's what we're shaping up. How has that impacted Tucson Water?
We've actually seen a fairly measurable increase in water usage over the past year. As most of your listeners know, we have a potable system, you know, the regular drinking water system, and then we also have a reclaimed water system that we use for the golf courses and large turf areas. And both of those systems have seen an increase in water use. I think it's both attributable to the drought, and then also certainly on the potable side, you know, the impact of the pandemic and so many people working from home. So it's been very measurable over this past year.
It's the lowest output of rain. We're below 4 inches, Tim, as you know, annually here. If this keeps up and we're in extreme drought here, could there be measures in 2021 that would kick in as far as Tucson Water is concerned?
We would not expect to have any changes to what we have is a drought contingency plan that does offer us some flexibility on actions we could take as a community if drought impacts were such that we needed to adjust water usage. However, we have such a resilient water supply, and because we're so reliant on the Colorado River and that supply is still meeting all of its obligations, I would not anticipate anything in 2021 beyond Tucsonans do what Tucsonans do so well, which is being very efficient with their water use.
Let's welcome now Dylan Smith from TucsonSentinel.com. Dylan?
Yeah, you brought up the pandemic, and one thing I wanted to ask you regarding that is the city basically canceled water shutoffs due to the pandemic and, you know, circumstances that people find themselves in. Are we seeing more people who would be having their water shut off this year who, you know, because of that they're not? I'm just kind of wondering, you know, where we are. Do we have a lot of people building up, past bills that they're not paying?
That's a great question. And we've observed a few changes because of the moratorium on shutoffs. One is there are more people or more customer accounts that are past due on their bills. There's no penalty or any fees for that at this time, and they're not at risk of being shut off. But there are more people that are in that situation than what we typically would see. And the total amount of money that's in arrears from our customer base has gone up significantly. In fact, it is 2 to 3 times what we would normally see if we had all of our normal you know, delinquency programs operating. So there's definitely been a measurable change. What we will be seeing over the next couple months, though, is there's actually some relief on the way. The city had received coronavirus relief funds, and it has been deploying it in a number of ways. And one of the things that has really come to fruition within the last month has been both utility assistance funds and rent assistance funds. So it's not just the water bill that people are struggling with, the power bill, the gas bill, and in many cases, rent. And the city mayor and council has allocated quite a bit of funding to help folks out in that situation. So what we're expecting to see is people receiving that assistance and being able to get caught back up.
So with this federal money coming in, trickling in, if you pardon the water pun, this maybe won't affect your budget, except for trying to, you know, get move numbers around in the short term here.
That's generally correct. The Tucson Water Utility has a few things working for it. One is, it does have a cash reserve that's in place for just this type of situation where if you have some interruption of revenue, that could come about in a number of ways, having some reserves to be able to withstand that. So we're very grateful that we were able to build that up over the last approximately 5 years, such that we've been able to do things like withstand the moratorium on shutoffs. So we should not expect, or customers should not expect, anything in the form of any kind of rate increase in order to make up the difference. We're expecting to be able to make ends meet. We will be drawing down our cash reserves, but that's what they're there for. So we're expecting your utility to come out of this in pretty good shape and trying really hard to make sure that the affordability factors, whether it's virus related or otherwise, aren't disenfranchising our customers. So it is something we're monitoring, but we've been prepared for.
Tim Tomier is with us from Tucson Water. Tim, you're also the acting director still for the Parks and Recreation Department. Is there a national search underway, or how long are you going to continue to wear the two hats?
You know, that's another way you can save money. You can have your directors run multiple departments.
There you go.
I appreciate the question, and actually, yes, there has been a national recruitment, and we are very, very close to hopefully having a new director. We are not done yet, but we are in the final stages, and I'm actually quite excited because the pool of candidates that were interested in this job was very strong and deep, and part of that is the fact that we have the voter-approved Parks and Connections bonds. So if you can walk into a community that's making investments in its parks and recreation, and you have the opportunity to help deliver on those promises, that's a very attractive position to get. So we've got a great pool. I think we're hopefully within a few weeks to being able to come to a final selection on that. And then sometime around the first of the year, if not before or after, could have a new Parks and Recreation Director in Tucson.
Tim, are there any new restrictions because of the pandemic and this new spike we're having? Are we okay right now with what we're doing, or is there something more in the toolbox?
That's a great question, because actually just today, and you're the first to hear of this, we're going to be taking an action related to major events or tournaments, especially like on our sports and recreation, where this is the time of year where often we have major events that attract participants from out of state. We're looking very strongly at canceling things like that through the end of December, and then really trying to focus on getting our community in position to be able to confidently host those types of things in January moving forward. You know, this is our big season, especially though January through probably March, April. So there's a high likelihood that we would be taking a step backwards on the big tournaments, at least for another 6 weeks. And that's actually a decision we were just working on this morning. So more to follow on that. But as far as the local access to our facilities, no additional actions yet at this time, but we are frequently monitoring the situation. We're also working very closely with Pima County Health Department to make the right calls. So nothing profound at the moment, but certainly if there were events attracting folks from outside of Arizona, we're going to take a step back.
All right. Quick follow-up to that. The Fort Lowell shootout, that's a big annual affair, Tim and Dylan. Is the shootout now going to be canceled because that attracts tons of folks from out of state?
No decision-making related to the shootout as of this time. And that's traditionally like a January event. So it's not something that we've had any communication with them about whether they're mounting it or whether we're in a position to host it. So that is something that we'd be turning our attention to very quickly, but no action there yet.
All right, Dylan and Tim, it's time to talk about my favorite bakery in town. Dylan, we'll begin with you. Mona's Danish Bakery wants to know what you would like on your Thanksgiving table as far as pies. What would your preference be this year, Dylan?
You know, for Thanksgiving, it's really got to be pumpkin pie, but, you know, little extra spice in there. You know, some more cloves, some more cinnamon, load that thing up.
You like a little,
and then let it sit for a day after you bake it too. Don't have one that's fresh, you know, made that day. Let it cure for a day or two, and it gets a whole lot better. Actually,
yeah, and actually, it's very good the way you know put it in the refrigerator even after a day. That makes it good too.
Yep.
I like it cool. All right, Tim, what about you?
I agree with that. You've got to have at least one pumpkin pie, and I do like that cold pumpkin pie right out of the fridge. That's a good moment. But I think the only correct answer is multiple pies.
That's it. And Steve, chief baker and owner at Mona's, would love to hear from folks as they put in their order for Thanksgiving. Also the dinner rolls. You've got to make sure you've got your dinner rolls ordered. Mona's Danish Bakery. They are the home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. People saying, what's a Danish Kringle? All I can say is it's an outstanding flaky pastry that you will never taste anything so beautiful with I like the almond paste. They can do cherry. They can do a lot of different flavors for you. Mona's Danish Bakery. I'll see you up at Mona's, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
Hello, I'm Jeanette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is in the process of developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, and soon will consider which projects best address transportation needs across the greater Tucson region. As part of its ongoing public outreach, the RTA invites your early input on which projects meet regional goals. Learn more about plan development and provide input at rtanext.com. Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on 1030 Tucson's Voice for Trusted News Talk. We're in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Tim Tomier is with us of Tucson Water. He's the head of Tucson Water. He's also head of the Tucson Parks and Recreation Department. That is a temporary position. The former director left several months ago, Brent Dennis, to go over to Long Beach. He seems to be very happy over there. He's a Facebook friend. Tim is also a friend of mine on Facebook, and he just posted a great picture of Tim on the phone right now on the Bill Buckmaster Show with his production assistant, the black cat, Jack. Jack looks perfectly contented, Tim, in that position. And of course, sleeping on the job is to be expected.
Yes, he has become quite well known in my background on Teams and Zoom meetings across the country now. So he's made a name for himself in the business.
Dylan Smith is with us on the live line as well. Dylan from TucsonSentinel.com. Dylan, do you want to plow into the situation with the Reed Park Pond, or do you want me to entertain that?
Well, yeah, I wanted to dig into that just a little bit. First, we should definitely clarify for folks that Jack is not, in fact, a city employee, so there's no taxpayer money being sent in his direction with this sleeping-on-the-job situation. Others, maybe, not so much, but Jack is free and clear of any clouds on his reputation, right?
Yep.
So there was a little bit of a kerfuffle that was raised that sort of pertains to your department, a little bit about the zoo, which you don't run, but over in Reed Park, which you do run. There was a letter to the editor published in the Star that raised a bunch of questions, and a bunch of people took those questions to be statements of fact, I guess, rather than things that maybe weren't quite true. Can you tell us what is going on there, in fact?
Sure. So the Reed Park Zoo is in the process of doing a number of upgrades, which were, if you've been to the zoo at any time in the recent past, you'll see that the new front entry is a new plaza and upgrades to that experience of coming into the zoo. And it's related to a number of upgrades and a master plan of the zoo that's actually being funded out of the voter initiative that was passed in, I believe, 2018. and there, or 2017. And one of the elements of those zoo improvements is an expansion into an area of Reed Park Zoo, which is, or Reed Park proper, which is where, if you've been to the park anytime in the last many years, there's actually a two duck ponds and a hill between the two known as Barnum Hill. The zoo expansion, following the outlines of the master plan, does occupy the south pond, which is the smaller pond of the two. Most people are probably very familiar with the north pond where they go to feed the ducks. And then there's a hill immediately adjacent. So the zoo expansion does go into those, that area of Reed Park. And the work on that expansion is getting pretty close to moving forward. And one of the first signs, visible signs of it, was there was some testing done on the South Pond to understand what its foundation is like and what it would take to incorporate that into the zoo or that area. So a fence went up around the South Pond, which got a lot of people's attention. So I need to pause for a second and say this was part of an overall master plan that had been adopted a few years ago, and there was significant outreach at the time, and also a town hall that was held about a year ago that was both for the zoo expansion and the actual improvements to Reed Park that are upcoming under the connections bond. So there's been historically quite a bit of discussion about it, but things were really quiet for a period of time, and then now it's really back in the forefront because activity is really happening in that area. There were over 100 public meetings held. There was quite a bit of opportunity to provide input during the master plan development process. But having said that, if you are a person or a neighbor that didn't catch your attention or the media coverage didn't catch your attention, a fence going up around the pond certainly did. So it certainly wasn't done under the cover of night. But we do have neighbors that have concerns and want their voices heard. And so that's the process we're in right now.
The plan does not include removing the north pond, the larger ones. The ducks aren't going anywhere, right?
That's correct. The ducks are safe and will be safe. And the north pond remains on the public park side. It will receive some improvements. We're going to put a new filtration unit in it to improve water quality. There may be some other upgrades to the north pond. And actually, the waterfall that comes off of the hill into the north pond, the bottom three levels of that waterfall still remain on the park side. So yes, the north pond remains. The ducks are safe, and park users will still have access.
But the south pond will be incorporated into the new expansion of the zoo, correct?
That's correct. The south pond will be incorporated. It will be now within the zoo footprint. There'll be the zoo is reworking that area once it comes into the zoo footprint, and that will actually be the pathways to Asia and a tiger habitat. And when we talk about what the zoo is doing today versus the way zoos used to be, if you can envision, you know, if you've been out there and you see the new elephant habitat and how much space that the elephant habitat has itself, but also it's the potential for breeding and supporting the longevity of an endangered species would be the outcomes for the tiger habitat.
All right. Go ahead, Dylan.
Maybe I think getting back to Tucson water and a non-pandemic question, what is the current state of your infrastructure? Are you looking at having to, you know, make any big shifts in the near future?
The Tucson water infrastructure is actually, it's always a work in progress because it's always aging and always needs reinvestment. What we have is about a $70 million per year capital program, and at least probably 20 to 30 million of that program goes toward reinvestment in what our existing infrastructure is. So compared to most utilities, when people think about the degrading infrastructure, Tucson Water's infrastructure is in overall very good condition, and we're actually reinvesting at a very good pace in order to keep it so. So we're not looking at a lot of deferred maintenance. We're not looking at significant additional reinvestment needed in the future. If we keep investing at the pace we've been, it'll continue to serve the community for decades.
Tim, the Santa Cruz River Heritage Project, which has been touted nationally as a really outstanding environmental project, that was unveiled, it's been maybe a year and a half ago already. Could you give us an update on where that is and what that's all about, please?
Yes, and actually my very favorite topic. So the Santa Cruz River Heritage Project is the restoration of perennial flow or year-round flow in the Santa Cruz River just upstream of downtown. And actually right now, it actually flows all the way from just north of Silver Lake / 29th Street to it routinely goes under the St. Mary's Bridge. So it actually goes all the way through downtown. And it's a narrow ribbon of flow, but it is beginning to develop a riparian habitat around it. And one of the most recent milestones is well ahead of time when we thought this would be possible. Arizona Game and Fish, just in late October, released about 500 endangered Gila top minnow fish into this stretch of the river, and actually Mayor Romero was there to help with that release. So not only have we restored water flow and the beginning of a healthy riparian habitat, we've actually reintroduced the endangered Gila top minnow to the Santa Cruz River in downtown Tucson.
Didn't you have to do some adjustments to that flow about 6 months ago?
We have, and actually the flow has adjusted up and down several times during the first year. When we're using a natural river system, you always have to be willing to experiment a bit and really adjust things to see what nature will accommodate and what nature provides. The flow's been relatively steady at about 800 gallons per minute, which is hard to visualize, but if you go down there, you can see it. Since the county Flood Control District completed some maintenance activities of the channel just this past summer. So it's been relatively steady for the last several months, and it's kind of beginning to establish itself as what it will look like moving forward. And again, I'm excited that it reaches the St. Mary's Bridge routinely, because that's my drive to and from work is over that bridge.
And the word seems to be getting out in the waterfowl community that this seems to be a very welcoming place, let's put it like that.
That's true. In fact, just on Monday, I was on a webinar with the Tucson Audubon Society, and we had, it looked like over 100 folks, and when the people were putting in their, where are you calling in from? Of course, COVID is keeping people hunkered down. We had people as far away as London, a lot of people in the upper Midwest, so it was really neat to see that kind of attention paid to a project we have right here in Tucson.
All right, Dylan, anything more before we wrap this up with Tim Tomier?
No, I was just going to, make a little bit of a joke that, with that, any of the displaced ducks from the park certainly have a even more natural place to go now, right?
That's right. Absolutely. They can fly a couple miles west and they'll be right there in the river.
Tim, is Jack the cat still there just above your shoulder there?
He is. He can go all day. He's done 8 hours with me right in this chair.
Wow. I love that little cat. Keep the pictures coming of him. Tim Tomier, thank you very much. I hope you and your family and Jack have a very nice Thanksgiving. Jack, I'm sure we'll get some leftovers or something from the dinner.
He will do okay. We haven't chosen what pie he gets, but I'm sure it'll be a contribution, and I appreciate it, and please stay healthy.
Can I do healthy. This always happens, Dylan. I always think of one more question. It's my show, so I can throw one more in there. What about, since you're still the recreation parks director, what do you hear about Roadrunner hockey in 2021?
So So last I've seen is actually, I think it's a February 5th start date for the AHL. We've not heard anything new since then. We're actually, believe it or not, already hearing some, we're talking about things with the Tucson Sugar Skulls, getting ready to prepare for a spring season. And since you opened the door, I will say, not related to the Roadrunners, who we're very much looking forward to, but in Tucson, because of, you know, all of our rec centers and activity centers are closed right now, we actually just got funding from Mayor and Council on Tuesday to develop and launch what will turn out to be 6 mobile recreation vehicles. So we're actually procuring them. We're going to be outfitting them. And we're going to start being able to bring recreation to our parks in an outdoor safe environment. And it'll be a new offering for Tucson. It's very exciting. And you're going to see some news on that in the not too distant future.
Yeah. And since, and again, I've got another question because now we're into parks. I'll make this really quickly. But what about the drought as far as the grass in the parks? Has this been a disaster or are we holding our own with the grass?
It's actually across the board. For the most part, yes, we're holding our own because we have the supplemental irrigation systems, and actually we've made some investments in those lately. We do have some of our newer plantings, more on like the tree and shrub side, that are really needing some artificial help, and actually members of the community are even adopting some of those plants and carrying 5-gallon buckets out to keep them healthy. What I will say is that the reduced use of the turf and some of our ball fields has allowed us to do a couple things. One, allow some of the turf to recover in a way that it normally doesn't because it's used year-round. And we actually were able to avoid overseeding, which for some of our fields, which in the long term, that break in that cycle allows the turf to be healthier and stronger moving forward. So the drought's had an impact, but we're, for the most part, doing well. But the change in use pattern and in some cases decrease in use actually will have a benefit down the road.
All right. Tim, thank you very much. Again, a very happy holiday season. Stay safe. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Take care.
All right. And Dylan Smith, stick around. I've got a couple of quick questions for you after we take the break. It is Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Guests appear on our live line courtesy of Rincon Ventures, real estate and property management. Buckmaster on a Friday with Dylan Smith of TucsonSentinel.com continues right after the break. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than 2 decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Reed Park Zoo is now open for wildlife walks, a modified guest experience prioritizing safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reedparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals. They're waiting to welcome you back to the Reed Park Zoo.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Our Friday Focus interview today was with Tim Tomier. Some good information from Tim, not only about Tucson Water, which he heads up, but also Tucson Parks and Recreation. It's Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go back now on the live line to Dylan Smith, editor-publisher of TucsonSentinel.com. Dylan, today the mayors of, I believe it was Flagstaff, we had Flagstaff, Phoenix, Tucson, and there was one other city, I think, from the from the Phoenix Valley. The mayors got together, had a news conference. Was this to urge the governor to reconsider and issue a mandate for mask wearing in Arizona? Is that what that was about?
You know, these mayors, Democrats, were asking Governor Ducey to do several things. That's the main thrust of their request is to get him to issue a statewide mask mandate. What's a little bit curious is basically none of these mayors are cracking down very hard on enforcing their own mask mandates and don't ever really want to explain why. They have the authority to enforce them using local police. It is a violation of state law for someone to ignore a mask order or any other emergency public health order that's put out by a mayor or a county. But they want to sort of push that off onto the state and make Ducey bear the political responsibility for issuing a statewide mask order, in addition to, you know, sort of raising the profile of those sorts of actions and making it so it's not just a local issue, but a statewide, mandate, something for him to really, in their formulation, the governor needs to show some more leadership. Ducey, for his part, really won't provide any rationale as to why he refuses to issue a statewide mask order. He says that about 90% of Arizona is covered by local ones, but won't really explain, except for, you know, what is obvious to everybody, the political calculus of he doesn't want to issue one because he doesn't want to, have people pointing fingers in his direction. He won't say that, though.
You know, you brought up a really good point. I hadn't really thought about it. So if we have 90% of the coverage, these local mayors do have the authority to issue tickets, don't they?
They certainly could. The way that they have, for the most part, structured their orders, they did structure them around, enforcing them through education rather than through issuing tickets. But the authority exists for them to, revisit their orders or to enforce the ones that exist more strongly. It is a crime in Arizona to disobey a local public health emergency order.
I'm just looking at TucsonSentinel.com, your front page here, that we're still really in the red. We're in the red zone again here on this thing, aren't we, on the COVID?
Yeah, for the second week in a row, Arizona is back in what the White House Coronavirus Task Force calls the red zone. At this point, just about every state is. Arizona was in that on that federal list back in the summer, of course, when we saw that horrible, horrible spike for a couple of months. But now we're seeing a trend that is even more steep, certainly much worse than what led to that spike in June and July here. And so we are really climbing quickly. People are getting, a little bit more loose with their behavior, going out more, interacting with more people. There are people wearing masks less or not wearing them well, letting their mask. You don't breathe through your chin, folks. You breathe through your nose. That's where your spit and snot goes flying out into the air. Cover your nose.
Hey, Dylan, I wanted to ask you that, we talk a little bit about the COVID situation. A frequent guest on this program, in fact, Will Hummel's been coming on the show monthly. He's the former director, as you know, Dylan, of the Arizona Health Department. He puts out a blog. And by the way, he will be, for his monthly visit, he'll be with us the Monday after Thanksgiving, so a week from Monday. But we've been trying to get him on every month. He does a blog, and he's saying now he's very concerned about December and hospitalizations.
If we continue to trend the way we are right now, if we don't get a handle on this very quickly, we're going to see things spiral much, much worse than they did this summer. And especially when it comes to hospitals, things are so much more widespread at this point with, right now, 47 states in the red zone, according to the Trump administration's task force that looks at this stuff and puts out these secret reports that then the governors don't really talk about. But what we've seen, earlier in the year was that the doctors and nurses and other healthcare workers who are somewhat mobile were able to travel from state to state and sort of, go to where the outbreak was taking place. With it so widespread everywhere in the country and hospitals all over the place being overburdened by this, we're not going to be able to respond in the way that we were earlier in the year. And that means that, these hospitals are going to be overwhelmed that much more quickly because they will not be able to have the mobile staff come in and pitch in and help. And these folks are already just dog tired, exhausted from dealing with this for months and months and months.
Dylan, a quick question about the election. I only got about a minute and a half. Let's go from COVID to have the election results in Arizona been certified? I know that Trump administration's still going after like Michigan and Pennsylvania. What about Arizona?
Arizona's election canvas is what the legal term is when the formal official stamp of approval is put on things. Doesn't take place for about another week. I think it's November 30th is when Secretary of State Katie Hobbs is set to declare Arizona's election results final and done. Right now, we have the counties basically canvassing their votes. That it was done in Pima County this week, where the Board of Supervisors voted 3-2 with the two Republicans basically following the Trump line that there were problems somehow and that they couldn't declare the election complete here. But that's been done in Pima County. Most other counties in Arizona have done it. There are a couple that are still in process. But that timeline isn't something unusual. That's what's laid out in Arizona law to give plenty of opportunity for every ballot to be counted. People kind of every big election, if there's a close race, people are, shocked that it takes so long to count the ballots. It really takes that long every time. It's just sometimes you're not paying attention.
Okay, Dylan Smith, TucsonSentinel.com. We had a listener wondering, how does someone subscribe to TucsonSentinel.com?
Well, there are, a few ways. You can sign up for our email newsletter, our updates. That's perfectly free. Go to our website and you'll see how to do that. And if you want to support our work, we're a local independent nonprofit publication. Go to TucsonSentinel.com/donate or TucsonSentinel.com/watchdog. And if you donate now through the end of the year, whether you donate one time, your money will be actually matched by some national foundations that want to support our work. It's called Newsmatch. And if you sign up to contribute on a monthly basis, whatever you give now through December 31st will be matched on an annual basis. So 12 times what you sign up to give us every month.
All right.
And we really rely on local folks supporting our work. We wouldn't be able to do it without them.
And your logo says a smarter Tucson is a better Tucson. I would agree with that. And Dylan, have you and your family and your wonderful canine friends there at home, everybody have a safe Thanksgiving. Thanks, Dylan.
Thank you, sir. You too. Take care of yourself.
Thank you very much. Dylan Smith, TucsonSentinel.com. Matt Russell is next with Weekend Watch. Be right back.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for the draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Time for Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Time to start planning for that getaway to a beautiful area of the southwestern United States, southwestnewmexico.org is the place to go for things to do and great places to stay in Silver City, which is only a three-hour drive from Tucson. Let's welcome now the longtime host of Weekend Watch, award-winning Tucson publicist, Inside Tucson Business food and beverage columnist, Mr. Matt Russell. Matt, how are you?
Well, I'm doing well. I'm starting my pre-Thanksgiving fast tomorrow. Get to make room in the belly, Bill.
Yeah. I keep hearing some people have a yearning now for a smoked turkey. Are there any places they can go to order that?
Yeah, and it's a great idea, too, because it kind of brings a little smoky take on the Thanksgiving tradition. You might want to consider the Horseshoe Grill this year. They've got a take-home Thanksgiving meal. They're going to be firing up those smokers, featuring whole mesquite smoked turkeys. They're going to be doing mesquite smoked beef brisket and a whole slew of side dishes, all packaged up to take home for Turkey Day. But here's the catch, Bill. You have to place your order this weekend in time for pickup next Wednesday, and you can do that by calling 838-0404.
Any jazz going on this weekend?
St. Philo's Plaza is the place to be tomorrow from 3 to 6 p.m. The next installment of their Jazz in the Plaza series, local legends Susan Artemis, Ed DeLucia, and others are going to be performing. And remember, when you're at St. Philo's Plaza, you're surrounded by three local restaurants, Union, Reforma, Proof. All the patios converge into one, so whether it's gastropub fare or modern Mexican or artisan pizza, you'll have plenty to choose from when you're enjoying the best live jazz in town. It's tomorrow afternoon at 3.
Seems like just yesterday that Pueblo Vida Brewing Company came on the scene. How are they doing, Matt?
You know what? They are doing great. And, you know, anniversary parties are always a treat for me to announce on your show because it says something about the success of small business. And this weekend, glasses are going to be raised high at Pueblo Vida Brewing Company downtown on Broadway for their 6th anniversary. This celebration is by reservation only today through Sunday, and they're going to be offering tables of 6 for $60, which gets you a commemorative art print, your first round of drinks, an entry into a raffle, and a sweet birthday treat. And while you're there, Bill, you'll enjoy sipping their 4 new anniversary beers that were brewed just for the occasion. You can make your reservations now by calling 623-7160.
Sounds like a winner. And in the Inside Tucson Business column this week?
There's a local hot sauce purveyor who describes his bottled sauces in the same way he describes himself. And I quote, weirdly unique and oddly complex. So you can learn a little bit of what odd and weird look like and taste like in this week's Tucson Business.
Boy, sounds like a real hot story there for the upcoming Thanksgiving. All right, Matt, you and the family enjoy the Thanksgiving. Stay safe, my friend.
Yeah, right back to you, sir. Thanks.
Matt Russell with Weekend Watch. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of the whole team here at Bustos Media Tucson, including John Couch, my longtime engineer and producer, I want to thank Rosemary Brandt, who's also been with me a long time, making sure all those podcasts are up in a very timely fashion. The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, wholly responsible for the content of the program. On behalf of everybody here, have a wonderful Thanksgiving.